final guest for the afternoon is on the line. Difficult to call him a guest these days. He's more like a regular contributor. He's our man in Israel. He is Yanky Faba. Yanky Faba, אני רוצה להתחיל עם זה. קודם כל, חג יום העצמאות שמח. That was going to be my first question to you today. Give me a sense. Take me to Israel. What's it like there today?
Well, people are celebrating. Most of the cities have made big celebrations, but it's not the same. It's not the same. I know many, many people who are still worried. Maybe the war will, you know, will come back. So let's not drive too far and let's not fly. I tell you more than this. I have many friends who still serve in the IDF, some are reserve, some on duty. They want to fly, but they are afraid that the war will get back tomorrow, the day after, or Sunday, and they will stay stuck in somewhere in the world, and they will not be able to come back, so they didn't fly. It's not the same like every year. I mean, it's not the same in Israel for the last 4, maybe 5 years, it's not the same. Since Corona, since 2019, nothing the same. People are celebrating Yom HaTzmaut, you know, just to celebrate, but not really. You know, when I was a child, when I was like a little bit maybe older, maybe when I was 20, 25, it was a real celebration of Yom HaTzmaut. But in the last 20 years, Israel is having wars after war, and it's not so good. You know, so when you come difficult to celebrate, you don't really celebrate. You just celebrate because you need to or whatever, but
It's not the same
celebration like 10 years ago. Yeah.
And that makes sense. I mean, you're in the middle of a war. You've got a ceasefire going. You don't know what's going to happen. So it makes perfect sense. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about, which is Lebanon.
But people are trying to celebrate as much as they can. Like, you know, instead of, you know, driving to the other side of the country and taking and going to a hotel and making a big celebration, everybody's like celebrating at home, things like that. People are not investing in the celebrations. People go to concerts, but it's not the same.
Are the traffic islands full of people making barbecues or mangals? Because that stuck with
me,
vision of, I remember being in Israel on Yom HaTzmaut thinking, why are they having a barbecue in the middle of the road? I never understood that.
It's part of the Israeli tradition to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut by making a barbecue in the middle of nowhere. And this is like, you just make a barbecue wherever you can. Sometimes not in usual places. And you know, the government, the council, the police, they're not really watching. Like, you know, on the Yom HaTzmaut, they close their eyes and they let people do whatever they want if it's not dangerous. People park on, you know, in places that you shouldn't park, and people, the authorities are much easier with, you know, giving tickets to people because it's like a celebration day. It's like a Yom Tov, so the authorities are much nicer than usually.
It's an interesting take, something I hadn't expected.
Yeah. Let's
talk a little bit about things making the news. Clearly, we have Trump talking about an extension to the ceasefire. And at the same time, I see news coming out from the Lebanese saying they want an extension of a month. Maybe you just want to address both those issues for me.
Yeah, so about Trump, the latest is that he wants, I think Wall Street Journal posted, reported that he wants to, he will give them between 3 and 5 days. But the problem is the war can go back in a minute because there is no really ceasefire now.
Yes.
So if America decides to attack or Israel decides to attack, they will do it. They can do it now, they can do it in 10 minutes, they can do it in 5 days. So nobody really knows what's going to happen, and people are actually waiting to see. Nobody, you know, till now there was a ceasefire, okay. But now the war can go back like in a minute. So, and people hope that in these, you know, 3-5 days, there will be a solution between America and Iran. And about Lebanon, well, you know, the government of Lebanon, they want to make a ceasefire, they want to make an agreement with Israel and stop the war and everything, but Hezbollah is refusing. So at the moment, Israel is not doing much in Lebanon because they don't want to disturb the situation between America and Iran. I believe the ceasefire with Lebanon will be extended much before there will be a solution between America and Iran. because Israel really wants to stop the war with Lebanon. So they're working very hard for it. And on Thursday, I mean tomorrow, there is a meeting between Lebanon and Israel in America again.
So
I believe there will be a solution before Iran.
Fascinating, because I thought Israel was forced into that by the Americans. I didn't think they were going willingly. I thought they wanted to take Hezbollah out.
Yeah, well,
but maybe there's another way of doing it.
Depends where you read. If you read New York Times, they say one thing. If you read Wall Street Journal, they say a different thing. And if you read Israeli news, they say something different completely. Nobody really knows, but I do know, everybody knows that Israel wants to, work some good solution with Lebanon. And they're working very hard for it.
I want you to address a story that we've been speaking about here on air. There seems to be some confusion about these approximately 40 Israelis who attempted to sneak over the border into Syria, and the IDF escorted them out. Who are these people? What do they want, and why are they doing
it? Okay. So first, no, they didn't sneak. It's like an open border, okay? It's not... The border between Israel and Syria, it's like Gaza, it's open. It's not really a real border, like, you know, between countries and this. It's like an open place, and everybody can come there and try to go to Syria. It's not really Syria, it's like in the entrance of the other side of Israel, but it's not really Syria. And they didn't actually go inside deep, they just went a little bit to some old building, and they were making pictures and videos, and then police came and told them to go out, the soldiers told them, and they went out, and nothing really happened. It's just, it's good for the news, and when you look at it, you think, whoa, they walked into Syria. No, they didn't walk into Syria. They need to walk really a long time to get into Syria. But they do make a lot of balagan, because the soldiers need to watch them instead of doing their duty. They need to watch those people. Those people, they believe Israel needs to, take over a whole piece of land in Syria, and Israelis should live in Syria. That's not going to happen. So this is what they want to do it. And they do it from time to time. It's not a big thing. It's just good for the CNN and BBC, so they can report that Israelis were storming into Syria. But it's not true. It's just the entrance, and nothing happened.
So politically, it's nothing to worry about, and these people aren't powerful, and they're going to be sabotaging your foreign relations.
No, they're not armed. They're very... Listen, they're only young, age 15, 17. Some of them are even younger. It's not a big thing.
There's an article that I didn't expect to see. They're talking about municipal elections in Deir el-Balah in the Gaza Strip, the first elections held by the Palestinians in I don't know how long. Is this just a different way for Hamas to kind of reassert their influence and power? What's the significance of this development?
Seriously, I didn't see anything about it. I probably missed it.
Okay.
So I don't know what to tell you. And no, listen, I didn't see it on the Israeli news. Nobody cares really what goes on inside
Gaza.
Well,
you need to care, because it's an indirect way of Hamas reasserting its authority,
yeah, but,
I think. It's a problem.
Yeah, but how can you make an election? Yeah, but how can you make an election in a place where 50% of the society don't leave a home, they live in tents, and the other 50% of society are spread all over? I really don't know how they can make an election, but I'm telling you, I did not see anything, and I read about 20 Israeli websites today, three times each one.
And
I haven't seen one single thing about Gaza.
Okay, all right. I want you to talk to me about Javier Milei. I went home last night and I switched on Israeli Channel 12 News, and I started streaming the tekes, the ceremony that was held for Yom HaAtzmaut, the opening ceremony. This guy is absolutely remarkable. Yeah, he jumped up on stage and he started to dance and sing. A remarkable man.
Yeah,
it seems like there's real chemistry between him and Bibi.
Yeah, he came to Israel. The first thing was he went to the Western Wall, to the Kotel. He prayed and made the... And then he went to meet Bibi, and then he went to meet the president, and then he went here, there. And then he went to a yeshiva. He went to Yeshivat Hebron in Jerusalem, a big, big, big yeshiva.
Why?
Very famous yeshiva. Because he, I don't know, maybe his ambassador is like a little rabbi. The Argentine ambassador to Israel is like a rabbi, he's Orthodox. He took him to the yeshiva because he wanted to see, you know, young Orthodox boys studying. He wanted to understand how a yeshiva looks like. He wanted to feel the atmosphere. And he went there and they made pictures and videos and he was giving a speech. And the rabbi was giving a speech. He's like, I don't know, I believe he's going to become Jewish when he finishes the duty in Argentina.
He says so. He can't keep Shabbat now, he says. That's his problem.
Yeah, he knows. He's saying it all the time. He's saying it, I can't keep Shabbat. I'm not allowed to. And he's very religious. He's a very Christian religious. And he knows about, you know, the Jewish Testament. And he knows about the Bible much better than many, many, many Jewish people in the world know. And before he went back to Argentina, he came again to the Western Wall, and everybody was there. So many people dancing with him and laughing with him. He's like really enjoying Israel. He loves the place.
He's an amazing guy. And apparently, what's come out of it is direct flights between Argentina and Israel, which is a historic first. I mean, that's quite something.
Yeah, it used to be, but a long time ago, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. And it's 16 hours flight, 1/6 flight from Israel to Argentina. It's Elal is going to do it, and it's a good. The people in Argentina are very happy because till now they needed to fly through other countries, so it took them like 2 days to get to Israel or something, like 1.5 days. Now they can have a direct flight. It's not so cheap, but. I don't know how much it's going to cost, but it's not so cheap. But they prefer to fly one flight to Israel, and it's a big thing. I hope, it's going to start. I think the end of the year.
And then finally, Yanky, and this is something that's been published for a couple of days already, but I just haven't had a chance to address it. But on the eve of Yom HaAtzmaut, of you turning 78, Israel has apparently 10.2 million inhabitants. You're no longer a tiny, threatened country anymore. You're a significant powerhouse.
Yeah, that's why we need to take over some pieces of land in Lebanon, Syria, and Gaza, because we need more space. No, I'm joking.
I hope you're joking, because I'll have an arrest warrant for you at the airport for you in South Africa if you talk like that.
No, nobody in Israel wants. Nobody in Israel is intent to do it, beside a few lawmakers in the Knesset who like to talk on the radio because they need to get people to vote for them.
Yes.
Basically. Yeah, but it's 10.2, but I think about 2.5 or Arabs, or Israeli Arabs. They're not Jewish. Mm-hmm. And there's also a large Christian population, Christian population in Israel. I don't know by numbers, but large. About 25% of the Israeli population are Muslims, and also Christians. And
how many Druze have you got?
About 7.7 or something million Jews.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because historically, that's what Ben-Gurion said you needed to get to. He wanted, I've forgotten the figure exactly, but it was like, we'll be okay when there's 7 million Jews in Israel, and I think you've reached that at that point. Yanky, we're going to leave it there. Go and celebrate, try and celebrate, and we'll touch base soon again, I'm sure. Happy Yom HaAtzmaut.